July 1st, 2017, in Los Angeles, California, the Lucy Coleman Studio. Hey, wait a minute. Why am I doing that? Do you guys know who I am? I'm not. I'm not the figment of one's imagination of a voice that was on the radio years ago and is gone because I try to do this thing every day. I am John Coleman. Do you know who John Coleman is? John Coleman is the vet. I am the vet. And in this webcast, I first of all, I want to thank a dear good friend of mine because, you know, I ran with some homeboys when I was behind the magnificent wooden lectern areas. Sometimes the black community look up to us with ambition. They want their sons to be like us. They want their daughters to marry men like us. They haven't looked deep enough in us to find out who we are. But I'm one of the real ones that believes in a Jehovah who is just. All right? And so all the rules of my life are just rules. I told you a couple of days ago on this website, if you heard about it, what my church family did to me. And a friend of mine, a pastor as a matter of fact, he contacted me. And I said, hey, listen to the webcast. And well, he comes by to see me today. It's amazing. He came by to see me today. And he said, can I say something to you, man? I said, yeah. He said, here you are sitting over here, man. He said, you know what you did? Now listen to what he told me what I did. He said, you loved those people too much. No, 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 no. No, 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 no. That is not true. I've been accused of that. Month after month, when I've helped people, I've helped so many people in my life. If Lucy and I could get all the money back that I gave other people arbitrarily because I loved them, we would have had a mansion in another part of town, and I'd be living off the fat of the land, if you can call it that, if I won't kill over of a massive heart attack. Because I'd probably be overweight, overindulged, and less interested in doing this for you because I want you to believe the facade that I'm some screwed up pastor trying to get justification. I am the vet. If you know anything about that ministry, the vet, and all you have to do is scroll down the page from my front page, but I don't want you to scroll down that page because I want to show you. It just dawned on me today what I did, because the preacher that came by, he said, let me tell you what you did. He said, you arbitrarily threw yourself massively in love with every young man that came to your church with the young family. Just like you see that picture of that couple with four children there, with four children. Is it four or five? Yeah, it's four, I think. But look at the point here. Those are the kinds of families that were coming into the church that I was pastoring from the year, or I think by 1989, because it took me a year to really settle my foot in that church, Olivet Baptist Church, which was just a staunch traditionalist Baptist church that was dying on the vine. And because of the love of money and everything else, that's one of the reasons why it couldn't go anywhere. And so you see, I'm giving you guys all this background history. And so what made the church that I pastored about me? I did. Obviously, the people didn't, because most of them turned out to be jackasses. When I first started teaching them, I was saying, look, there's a time when you take your head up out of the sand and smell the roses. I would tell the men, some of you need to listen to the wives God gave you. Because you think that you're the head of the house because Uncle Remus showed you how to beat somebody upside the head. That's the way I used to preach to my men. Oh my God, and to the women it was worse than that. But that family, my hip was killing me. As I was leaving the museum area, and there was a bench there, and I sat down, and as I looked to the east, I saw them coming down the sidewalk, and I said, they can't all be his. And that smile on her face was on her face the entire time. And I'm sitting down, panting, trying to get my breath, when I saw them, and I said, oh, I just had to. Please tell me all these children are yours. And they said, yes. They were here 3 months in Los Angeles, migrating from Louisiana. So, of course, it flashed back me back because in that same walkway, I would bring 20 to 30 kids from the church. And I'd bring them out there, and Lucy and I would take the children to a museum like that, and I just found that such a refreshing moment. And I asked the parking guard attendant, are there other young black couples coming out here? And he said, oh, no, practically none. But that's what Lucy and I did. That's where we took our children. We didn't let them sit down and watch video games and all that other stuff. Took them out in nature, showed them stuff, showed them different people. Show them how to act when you get out in public. See, these children don't have this. They don't have this. But I was a vet. I started every Bible program there, and if I didn't start it, I okayed it because I had to run it through my head. Why? Because I loved those people dearly and did not want any of my so-called teachers who thought they were teachers to be able to run away with well, I want to be popular now. And that is so replete in the church. It really makes the institution is a screwed up institution. You shouldn't want any part of ministry. Neither of you out there. Only a raving lunatic would say that. And it proves to me that you're not called into ministry because you don't know why I just call you out of your damn mind. Think a little bit. Either I know what I'm talking about. I'm the vet. That's where I used to talk to the people that I pastored. I didn't play these games with them. See, these people got tired of me. Those of you young ministers that want to be ministers, let me tell you what you're shepherding. No, you know what you're doing? You're trying to protect your money. I told you this. You go there and tell them people the truth, and then, like I said, God has my back today. I was telling this preacher friend of mine that came by today, this is what he asked me. This is an interesting question that he asked me. He said, John, what is the one thing that you resent the most that you did, and if you could change it, you never would have done it? Oh, I told him, that's easy, man. He said, what? I gave up my city retirement. I had 17 years. And if I had went 13 more years after 1988, and I would have made it because I'm still alive, I would have got full retirement, 30 years. All the benefits, equivalent to about $6,000-$7,000 a month. I'd be able, as an old man should, go anywhere around the world. I ain't going nowhere where they're shooting and hating. I'd love to visit this country. I want to get away from so much fat. I mean, I'm sorry, but I'm sitting in the Lucy Coleman studio, and there's three women walking down the street to some kind of affair, and they're all, I'm not going to give you their race or nationality, but all of them fat. We're too fat in this country. I'm on my new vegan exploration diet. Excuse me. And I'm loving it. I didn't have my water next to me. You guys know me. There we go. The old man still doesn't have proper microphone etiquette in the cover of your mouth. Turn away. Shut the mic off. Oh, you guys know me. How about the 4th of July is coming, right? I'm staying home. I'm not eating any of that barbecue stuff. None of that. I had a man tell me today, and he and a friend of his, stomach feels like it's been torn apart. I asked him, where's he been going to eat? He said, McDonald's. I said, you better look at that movie, What the Health, and pay attention. When I tried to show him the facts, he's tinkering with his phone. I said, man, somebody trying to give you some vital information. And you won't pay attention? That's just lucid generation. The reason why they don't think that they're going to live to be 73. I'm telling you the truth. They don't think that they're going to live that long already. That's why they're having the sex that they're having, taking the drugs that they're taking, and living off the fat of the land where they can, because they have no, if they would tell you. Now, I'm not speaking about the entire population. I'm talking about when raising your children is going bad. When this pastor came by here, I said, oh, you're going to always see me hanging around people. He said, John, I remember I come around here. You was always with people. Had people here, had people there. I told him, I love people. Especially if they let me teach them the will and the word of God. Why did I find out that most of the people that I'm teaching that to didn't even believe in God? And that's what gets me about, and I'm not an atheist, don't get me wrong. I'm not an atheist, nor am I agnostic. But I just would like to know, how, I even asked this preacher a couple of deep philosophical questions, and to this moment, I haven't gotten an answer from him. And he's the most brilliant teacher, just like I am. But I, like Socrates, will ask you some questions that your mama won't allow you to answer. He was attempting to tell me about the persuasiveness of my ministry life and what I was best at. And I was saying the fact that, well, you can only best discover what you are as you live it. There was somebody said to me, how can anybody think of doing this is repulsive? I said, oh, you don't know people. If they see one of the strains of your hair going in the wrong direction, it can throw their whole equilibrium off. People. Now, so what makes me love them so dearly? See, the vet was an attempt through the means of biblical, historical, geographical, linguistical, semantical interpretations of the writ called scripture with Koine Greek, Hebrew, or any other language that they translated these 2,000 years old ancient texts to mean. I know when it says to greet the brother with a holy kiss, you don't go around putting your lips on another brother's lips. But in the culture that allows you to do that, you do that. I like that approach. Get as close as you can to that brother. Go to the place where no one else is going to go. This is what I was trying to teach at the vet. Oh my God, Matt. Do you know how many disastrous marriages I kept together? When I should have told them, look, if you ain't feeling it now, you never will. That would be like me giving second thought as to whether or not I should have married Lucy. Now, I don't know what you think Alzheimer's is, but I don't suffer with that malady. And that's the kind of pastor I was. I just talked to you like that. I said, come on, snap out of it. Come to reality. I think that's what the members of the vet did, and they thought that they were the vet. No, I'm the vet, fool. I've always been it. I always will be it. This preacher told me when he came by here, because I told him, you know, he's heard some of the webcast. He said, Don, you mean to tell me you... No, these people, hey. The great, and I'm not the only radio exegete they did like that. Whenever you try to educate black people in biblical Christianity, you're going to run into some Tommy rot. Because number one, the black people never believe in the superstitious. All they're trying to do is keep you the preacher, keep their booties out of hell. Now, you know, that's the worst kind of person to pastor, because I taught all my men, be independent. You don't want to come to Bible study, don't come around here. Tell your wife, if you don't want to come into my female Bible study that I teach, keep her at home with you. You got the right to do it. I don't want to see her. I would tell the man, I want to see you. Because you're the one raising them two boys. What mama going to tell them? Forget that stupid preacher? Yeah, right. I was the vet. Those other people didn't come up with those concepts. They were too chicken, too afraid. Why did I come up with them? Because I knew that the church would become a laughing stock, a boiling pot of foolishness. We don't even know how Jesus looked now. And then when you tell the so-called white Christians that Jesus could have looked like Elijah Poole, you got an entire racial structure going crazy. That's sick. I don't follow a God that is that weak. I'm thinking about all the webcasts that I've ever done in my entire life. And every time I try to do the webcast, whether I play music or anything, what am I doing? I'm extolling God. God made me. Now, what God did to me is God gave me this strain that's in me. I love humans. Especially kinds that grow up in my community and will listen to wisdom and apply that wisdom and become a better person. But it appears that most of the people that I've shepherded over the years were brainless sheep. How could they? You know what this preacher asked me when he heard what they did? I said, what? How could they stand there and let that happen to you, John? Did they ever believe in you? Man, I don't know. I knew I wasn't playing the game. I knew I wasn't playing. Oh, man. You guys should have been there when the other pastors that weren't in my church started calling, asking if they could help. Now, why don't you tell me why they really called my home? Oh, man, I can be the vet. See, those fools that went down to the radio station with me, and if you recall correctly, after they so securely handle the money, because I didn't have any money. I wasn't even getting paid anymore. And, of course, donations fell off because I told them the night, my last night on there, this may be it. Don't send any more money. That's why they wanted me off. Because they, you know, they came out with this scheme. They found Pastor John in some sin, so they had to remove me. And they were trying to say, see, this is how strong we are now. The people on the radio wouldn't know, because what do they know? Most of them probably said, see, I told you, a bunch of jigaboos can't do nothing right. I'm just keeping it real as the day is long. I mean, Broman's not any longer here, but I know I'm right about it. And this preacher told me. He said, you mean there wasn't a force of people to stand up? I said, man, the christenings, the weddings, the everything, one of the weakest religions in the world is professing Christianity, because you got to be real to possess it. You can't profess it. You must possess it. And the it that I'm talking about is not the color of a man. You know, like the stupid ass Germans during World War II, they blame their failures on the Jews. Well, if we whack them and kill them, then our white Jesus will come and exonerate us, and we can take the world and make the whole world like our white Jesus. I wonder if anybody pointed out to them stupid Germans that Jesus most likely was a third world person and very dark. Oh, they'd kill you in a minute. Let me tell you something. You want to get caught up in some fanaticism? Join some religious fanatics, especially the ones that can't defend their premises. They can't. That's why I was their pastor. I was saying, black people and people of radio, I'm going to show you how to defend this clause where you can defend what you are. That's why men marry these women. And don't even know what kind of women they met. I don't know what happened. I don't know, man. Don't be talking about your sexual experience. I don't want to hear about that mess. That should be old news now. And looking at some of these candidates that some of these people got to choose from, I don't know why. Oh, my goodness. Oh, no. That would be like prison for me. Oh, my God. I am outraged by it. And I'm outraged by the institution. But I just wanted to say this. I'm the vet. Every sermon that you hear me preaching on, every lesson on this website that I'm teaching, I'm doing this. No one's doing this. And this friend of mine came by. And he said, John, when I heard about what them people did, I said, what? Tell them you the vet. Now, let me tell you why I didn't use this term when this nonsense started happening. Because I was taught humility by the Christian faith. You know, the Bible says, humble yourselves before God, and in due time, he'll lift you up. I'm not trying to, I'm just letting you know that I am aware that I am the vet. No one that went down to the radio studio with me, my crew, my staff, none of them were chosen. Well, maybe one man was chosen because of his astute articulation, Mr. Michael Colger. But there's no one else that could register for that addendum. And the people that took over the radio show on KKLA, do your history. Craig Hawkins, Easy D, Daryl Fulton, and those charlatans that help hijack the vet. And you know where it is? It had to be a concerted effort to get rid of a brain smarter than the rest of them. And this is what I've learned. With black people, it's going to take a whole bunch of them to pull you down. Because you think, you have to think through a logical conclusion. Everybody knows that's not real. Everybody knew that what they were saying was not real. But I'm going to tell you guys the truth. I am not suffering the way people think I'm suffering. It would have been nice to have a little bit more money to spend in my own age. Thank God in heaven I'm not sick. Don't have any disease. I feel good. I'm not venting my anger or anything like that. I just thought that I'm thinking of. You know what I mean? I thought about this thing and I said, you know what? I could have had a decent retirement. Yes. But then I thought about that movie. Remember that movie? With James Stewart, It's a Wonderful Life? Huh? Remember he was so distraught about what had happened. And he said, oh, I wish I'd never been born. And he told that wish to the angel. And he lived it. He went back to his sweetheart's house trying to look for her. And she screamed and pushed him away. Didn't even know who he was. She was just an old maid in the house, never coming out because she never met the man that excited her. See, and from that scene from that movie, me like other people, and this preacher friend of mine came by and he reiterated it to me. He said, it all depends upon John on how you view yourself. He said, it doesn't matter what you did if you didn't do anything, because people are dirty dogs. And you know that. And then he asked me, why did I think that the vet was different? And I told him the truth. I said, it's because I'm not different, nor am I indifferent to logic. You see, only a person that is indifferent to logic can differ with the idea of the vet. And that is why, while I was there and reigning supreme, no one, no officer, no nothing. They would bring in PhDs. I just told them, I don't recognize you. See, God didn't tell me to listen to you. They look at me like I was crazy. I said, I don't know what you coming around this church for. These black people are not going to become a part of your guinea pigs. I used to tell them people, you need to stop eating this junk they're feeding us. I've always been like that, though. Always been like that. But I'm the vet. And I'm still alive. And I feel good. I just wanted to make that perfectly clear. I'm doing well because of the graces of God, and a few friends that know my plight, they come by. And so, thank you so much for being concerned. I haven't lost my vim and vigor, and I'm never going to compromise myself for you in order for you to feel good, because I don't give a damn how good you feel. That's what being an independent thinker is all about. When Jesus said, care for your brother, it means care for him. I think I have a track record to prove that. I don't have to say another word. And most of the people that listen to me wouldn't stop to help a child if it was stranded in the middle of a freeway if he couldn't be on the Eyewitness News. Well, thank you very much for your time and for coming to my website today. And I hope that you understand what I mean by I am the vet. Don't get that confused. There's only one John E. Coleman, and I am he, and I'm still alive, and I still have the same mindset. And this preacher just came by to tell me. I said, well, man, that's pretty good words. I said, I think I'll talk to my daughters upon my shoveling off this mortal coil. I may have you share those words with the listening audience, because my daughters seem to think that all the preachers that I know have abandoned me. And I find preachers every time I talk with them in contradictions. And he said, what do you mean? I said, I couldn't live like that if I was still pastoring, because that would be a blatant slap in God's face, man. You know, preachers like to raise these unanswerable or unquestioned propositions about life. I said, it is impossible for God for him to lie. I said, since that attribute is impossible to come close in any way. The rhetoric of engaging in such a ludicrous conversation only leads one into early what happens when you lose your mind. Yeah. So I don't think in those ways. I try to tell my preacher friends that come by and visit me, I'm fine. I take my medicine. You know what my medicine is. I don't follow you because I don't want to live the way that you live. It's good for my mind. It's very good for my mind and gives me a clear objectivity about the world that I live in, not contingent or based upon some other person's opinion or the way he relegates his life to be lived. You get it? I'm the vet. And unfortunately, my friend told me where I failed in the venture. He said, you should have told them that, John, over and over and over again. I said, why do you think it's important for me to say? He said, you're pastoring black people, John. What does that mean? Your fortune becomes theirs if they choose it to be. And that is an unfortunate situation. In other words, if you fortunate, well then Master We's fortunate. You know, that kind of thing. If you's fortunate, we's fortunate. No. That's slave mentality. I don't want to get left off at the ship dock. But I'm sorry, we'll go into another webcast on that because that's a horse of a different color all the time. Hey, listen, thank you for the many that are still coming to the website and listening to my line of thought, my way of reasoning. I'm not trying to be problematic. I am letting you know why I'm the vet. And you don't hear me addressing all these issues. That's kind of, because I've addressed them on this website 100 times in 100 different themes. So you know where I am. You don't have to say, well, I wonder where Pastor John stands on this. No, how much of me are you listening to? See, and it is my premise to say that most of the people that thought that they were of the vet, oh, this is another thing the preacher told me today. You should have never told them that they were a part of the vet, would you? I said, what do you mean? He said, that's where you gave your power away. They thought that they were entitled to be you. I said, what? And then he explained to me the background or the mentality. I recall years ago when I was a young man and I used to watch the old British Isles movies of the old priest in the church getting up and going into study, getting his books, walking in there, standing under the little thing that I hope wouldn't collapse. He'd talk 5 minutes, then he'd turn around and go back in there and go to sleep or do something. And I said, is that it? Well, see, the only thing that was different for me is my lecture was 90 minutes plus. I have never preached under 55 minutes. I don't know how to, and I'm giving some new information all through it. One person told me, they said, John, you are the only pastor that I know that gives more than enough information to win your point. You're an apologist. Okay, you won't take an opinion of an uneducated person. And then another thing, what made me the vet? I said, look, if you're more educated in theology than me, and there was a guy in the church named Will Patton, I think he kind of had the hots for it too. And I used to tell him, come on, take it from me. Take this from me. You can't take something from another man that's not yours. See what I'm talking about? And so we are living in a particular day and age where the respect, for the people that we see in a position, we no longer have to respect. This preacher told me they don't have to respect it. Why? Because nothing's right for them. I said, what do you mean nothing's right? And he said, because they never were saved like you. They never believed like you. They get bored when you tell them facts. He said, what do you think about people that can't? He says, what kind of people are in the universities and college? The kinds of people that's in the universities or the colleges are people that are interested in facts. When black people go to church, they're not interested in facts. They're interested in what the pastor going to talk about the wedding last week. They're interested in whether the pastor know Beyonce is pregnant. What kind of a damnable thing is that for you to even mention that crazy woman's life behind a lecture of such high regard? That's where a pastor talks. He ain't never backing off. He's never changing. I don't care if he likes Beyonce herself. And I don't know how anybody in his right mind can like that woman. Oh, I'm sorry. If you wanted to disappear in a night of frenzy and madness, I didn't say that. You see, but that was over half of the conversation that I pastored too. I am the vet. Oh, yeah. Man, you know, they're trying to accuse me of doing everything that I wish I could have done. You think about that. You didn't have to accuse me of that because, man, I wish I could have done it. I would have done it. Oh, yeah. So, I just thought that I'd say that because we want to get our history books correct. Okay? And then what you do is you have to ask yourself, how would I handle the answering of a question that I never heard it posed before? Would you attempt to answer the question, or would you admit readily, immediately, intuitively, that you have no cognitive dissonance of what I'm saying? And most of these people would never admit. I had them in the booth sitting around with me, you know? And I wouldn't ask them anything I know that they didn't know. I'd always ask them something that I gave them in the classroom. You know, something that we've gone through at least a 90-minute debate of an issue. You know, I would say something like, you know, a lot of people listen to this radio program, and we're talking about the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. I wonder who can break this thing down into layman's terms and so the radio audience can understand that doctrine. Now, I expected any of those men that was in that booth with me to do that. I'm the head of the group, right? And I wouldn't dare ask a question that I couldn't answer. That that would make the whole show facetious. And you know what? What really made it pathetic is that white people heard this. They were impressed by it because white people that put money and trust in education knew if I were telling the truth or lying. That's why my popularity was very popular in the church by other people, but not by the people that I shepherded. You get it? Everybody say, how in the world could an African enslave his brother to the European whites? Are you kidding? Now, I'll stop belly aching because I just thought that I'd say that because you will hear more and more and more as more will be revealed to you by me. And that's a good thing. I think that's a real good thing. And I got to tell you guys again, I cannot believe the neighbors on my street. My neighbors got these little dogs and they walk. I'm telling you, people, it looks like I live in Santa Monica, California. But anyhow, I'm not going to get into that. It is what it is. Thank you for coming to my website. And I'm just not used to that. That's what I'm saying. Look, the neighborhood has changed so drastically, I have to look out my window and say, wait, is this one of my new neighbors? But I think I walked down to the end of the block by myself today because I need to stretch these bones. Thank you guys for coming to the website. And you know what? Let me know what you think about this presentation. And I want to thank you. Say thank you to a friend of mine that came by. You know who you are. And I appreciate what you said on my behalf because he heard one of my webcasts about what they did. And it said, they did that to you? Yeah, man. Oh, yeah, they did that. I mean, some low, low stuff. I didn't ever think that anyone in the church could ever do anything like that to another person that you love. That's why I told my wife, baby, I'm getting into the right profession. That's how naive I was. All right. God bless you. Yeah, stay in the Word. That's going to help you. That's going to be about the only thing that will. Because you know what they'll do. Oh, my.